The scripture reading this morning comes to us from the book of Job, chapter 12. But ask the animals, and they will teach you. The birds of the air, and they will tell you. Ask the plants of the earth, and they will teach you. And the fish of the sea will declare to you, who among all these does not know that the hand of the Lord has done this? In God's hand is the life of every living thing and the breath of every human being. In July 1960, at the age of 26, Jane Goodall traveled from England to what is now Tanzania and ventured into the little known world of wild chimpanzees. Equipped with little more than a notebook, binoculars, and her fascination with wildlife, Jane braved a realm of unknowns to give the world a remarkable window into humankind's closest living relatives. When she entered the forest of Gombe, the world knew very little about chimpanzees, and even less about their unique genetic kinship to humans. She took an unorthodox approach in her field research, immersing herself in their habitat and their lives to experience their complex society as a neighbor rather than a distant observer, and coming to understand them not only as a species, but also as individuals with emotions and long-term bonds. Dr. Jane Goodall's discovery in 1960 that chimpanzees make and use tools is considered one of the greatest achievements of 20th century scholarship. Her field research at Gombe transformed our understanding of chimpanzees and redefined the relationship between humans and animals in ways that continue to emanate around the world. Through more than 50 years of groundbreaking work, Dr. Jane Goodall has not only shown us the urgent need to protect chimpanzees from extinction, but she has also redefined species conservation to include the needs of local people and the environment. Today, she travels the world, speaking at the threats facing chimpanzees, environmental crises, urging each of us to take action on behalf of all living things and the planets we share. The chimpanzee study was, well, it's still going on, she explains. And I think it's taught us, perhaps more than anything else, to be a little humble. That we are indeed unique primates, we humans, but we're simply not as different from the rest of the animal kingdom as we used to think. As we observe our blessing of the animal's service, we recognize this truth, that we are unique as human beings, but each animal is uniquely created as well. As part of creation, we share a common bond, a connection that unites us, and that connection is worth noting and celebrating. Perhaps there's a time or a perspective that assumed that only the human species thought or felt as though animals were devoid of mind and spirit. But we observe this day because we believe differently. As Jane Goodall once said, you cannot share your life with a dog, as I had done in Bournemouth, or a cat, and not know perfectly well that animals have personalities and minds and feelings. And if we dare to look into those eyes, she says, then we shall feel their suffering in our hearts. More and more people have seen that appeal and felt it in their hearts. All around the world, she explains, there is an awakening of understanding and compassion and understanding that reaches out to help the suffering animals in their vanished homelands, that embraces hungry, sick, and desperate human beings, people who are starving while the fortunate among us have more than we need. And if, one by one, we help them, the hurting animals, the desperate humans, then together we shall alleviate so much of the hunger, fear, and pain in the world. Together, we can bring change to the world, gradually replacing fear and hatred with compassion and love, love for all human beings. For me, our observation of this day is not merely a warm and fuzzy feel-good day, but an important theological articulation that God is in animals, a part of creation, that the divine spark that we experience in one another is also present in other sentient beings, and that we can experience God in a relationship with these beings, with these animals. But ask the animals, our scripture commands us. For even in ancient days, there was an understanding that wisdom is not limited to humanity. Perhaps divinity is not either. Just as we believe that humans are created in the divine image, perhaps too, are animals. In exploring our relationship with animals, we might further develop and understand our relationship with God. Ask the animals. And this is why I think it's important for us to pause and observe a day like today. Because while some might write this off as schmaltzy, you know, we have this outside service, we sing animal songs, we cuddle up with our pets, and well, yes, I do think there's some warm fuzzies here, I also believe there is something important innate in a day like today. I think we as Christians have an opportunity, even a responsibility, to explore our relationship with God and thus develop our theology. And in this case, it is important that we articulate a theology around animals, related to creation care, but not isolated in environmental preservation. Instead, a belief that God is in creation, that God is manifested in animals. Not that we believe that God is an animal. I might see something like this articulated in particular earth traditions and maybe potentially some indigenous traditions. But for our theology, we might say and proclaim that in our relationship with animals, we are given a window to God. We are in deeper relationship with God as we give ourselves to those relationships. Just as we do when we invest in human relationships and we experience the divine incarnated within those relationships and those people, so too do we experience God in our relationship with our animals. Jane Goodall did this in a scientific way in her observation of animal behavior. But we come together, and in this case, we embrace Jane Goodall's experience and wisdom, but we're called to take it to a different level, to make it theological. After all, we are called to think theologically and develop our own theological framework. So on days like today, we both proclaim a theological statement about what we believe, perhaps that might be in this case, that God is in animals, and we experience the divine in our relationship with animals, and we express our experience by sharing our love, by witnessing or even testifying to that experience, by sharing about it, lifting up our blessings and receiving blessings in relationship to our pets. I think it's important for us to pause and articulate this because we are thinking Christians who both believe and practice our faith. We are articulate our beliefs in naming how we see God embodied in the animal world, in creation, and we also name and live out our practice by lifting up the animals that we love. And this love is for so many of these animals who are right here in our midst today, others who are here symbolically through photos, and others remain alive in our memories. Over the years, we have included the memorial moment in our service today because we recognize how important it is to name our grief and remember our dead. We do this together as we remember human loved ones, either in a special memorial service when someone dies, and or during our All Saints Day observation the first Sunday in November, coming up in just a couple weeks. But absent in our society is the opportunity to ritualize our grief in a memorial for our pets. And the truth is, our pets are so much a part of our lives. They are our family. And anyone who has ever had a pet knows this to be true. Their imprint upon our lives is significant. I held on to an article about grieving pets and the significance of that grief upon a person's life because it rang so true to me and my own experience of grief when my dog died. Part of the reason we grieve our pets is because they're so much a part of our daily lives. For instance, if you have a dog like I did, you wake up in the morning and the very first thing you do is take your dog out. Then you feed your dog. You might come home midday and take the dog out again, and then perhaps you'll go for a walk in the evening and you feed the dog a second time. So when a dog dies, your rituals change. The change in your daily routine has a jarring effect upon your life and causes you to grieve the loss in a more impactful way because it affects your daily rituals. In 1988, there was a study that found that dog owners place their dogs as close as a family member. I get that. Believe it's true. And then it said that 39% of dog owners said their dog was their closest of family members. Why? Because our pets embody what we humans think are the best qualities that a friend should have. Think about it. We want our friends to be loyal, non-judgmental, genuine, trustworthy, dependable, to accept us, forgive us, support us, listen to us, love us, make us laugh, and be present with us when our times are hard, not necessarily because we want advice, but because we simply want to share that journey together. Well, who does that better than your dog or your cat or maybe even your hamster? So for this reason, we come together this morning to lift up our animals, to thank them and God for their unique blessing in our lives, and to ask God's blessings upon them, to remember those who have lived and loved us, who are ever imprinted upon our hearts, and to proclaim that in our relationship with them, we experience a facet of the divine embodied in them, granting us a fuller experience of God. So let us come together to affirm the animal kingdom, the kinship we share, the love we feel, and the blessings we experience. But ask the animals, and we shall know the love of our God. Amen.